Are you genuinely passionate about project manager, or are you just counting the hours? Do you wake up excited to manage projects, or is it just another paycheck? No, really, I want you to think about it for a moment. What does your job actually mean to you? Let me share a short story with you. I remember this organization that I worked for that had an untold email approach that I was definitely unaware with me. Stay with me for a minute. Let me explain. I sent out an email to a group of stakeholders that consisted of executives, middle management, and then the CIO. Basically, everyone who was involved in my project. So I was new to the organization, so I didn't even give any thought of how the recipients should be ordered. And honestly, it seemed like a very minute or minor detail. But later that day, during my one-on-one with my manager said casually, "Hey, Ed, about the email you sent earlier, you really should organize the recipients a little bit better." Initially, I didn't understand. Organize better. Okay, that's what I was thinking. I asked myself, now I shift my posture from being relaxed to more of a, I'm leaning on the edge of my seat now because I need to understand this. You're going to have to unpack that for me. What did you actually mean by that? Patiently, my manager turned their laptop around to show me their inbox, and they pulled up their emails carefully structured with the CIO name first, followed by VPs, then directors, then managers. Everyone neatly listed according to their rank within the organization. And that's when it hit me. Something as simple as the order of recipients could be just a small administrative detail. It was subtle reflection of respect, hierarchy, and understanding the organizational culture. It made me even think even deeper and say, this is why we must respect the organizational culture. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, well, that seems a little excessive. Well, wait a minute for a moment. If I came to your house and you have an unspoken rule that there are no shoes on my carpet, I may feel that may be a little excessive. But for you, it may not be, because you're able to keep your carpet clean and you don't have all these the stuff from outside coming inside. So for me, instead of allowing my feelings to get in the way, that moment was a turning point for me. It taught me the importance of embracing organizational culture and paying attention to the smallest details, because often it's these details that speak the loudest in your professionalism and you respect the workplace. Let's take a deeper dive into what it really means to embrace organizational culture. Point number one, organizational culture. Every organization has its own set of values, norms, unwritten rules. A passionate project manager takes the time to understand and align with this culture to lead projects more effectively. I know what you're asking is, why is this important? Well, let me answer that question for you, because projects often intersect with various departments and, of course, personalities. But operating in a true organizational culture, you gain stakeholders' trust, you reduce friction, and you increase the likelihood of successfully adopting your project outputs. Here's my three experimental tips I would love for you to experiment with. Conduct informal interviews. What does that look like? Talk to longtime employees or department leads to learn the organizational history as well as its values. Number two, adapt your communication style. Use language and symbols that resonate with the company's culture. I know for me, there was an organization I worked in and they used a lot of acronyms. And I had to get up to speed on these acronyms, because if I didn't, I wouldn't understand the conversation. So understanding these type of company cultures and symbols and language is going to be imperative. And then seek cultural champions. What does that look like? It looks like identify influential employees who exemplify the organization's values and just enlist their support. Point number two, hone negotiation skills. Family, I don't care. This is why I love project management. I'm sorry, I'm going to take a quick, as they say, praise break. The reason why I love project management, because it is truly a reflection of life. When you look at life, you have to negotiate. When you look at life, you have to understand the environment that you're in. When you look at life, you have to look at protecting your time, protecting, you know, what you said you were going to do, which could be your scope. So I say that to say that honing negotiation skills are key, whether it's balancing scope, schedule, budget, resources. Project managers are continually negotiating internal with teams and, of course, external with vendors and clients. This is important because effective negotiation can secure better terms, minimize project costs, and maintain positive relationships. It also ensures for you to advocate for your project's best interests without actually burning bridges. Here's some things I would love for you to experiment with. Prepare thoroughly. Research key points. There's a acronym, I think it's called BATNA, basically is best alternate to negotiate agreement and other parties like priorities. Seek win-win outcomes. Focus on a mutual gain to foster long-term and collaborative relationships. And stay professional and empathetic. Even in tough negotiations, remain calm, respectful, and open to the other party's perspective. Point number three, empower team members to take the lead. I know we always get in trouble, especially me, where as a project manager, you want to try and control. You want to try to maximize, or I should say minimize, impacts. And I learned in my career that doesn't do anything. First of all, you end up getting burned out. Second of all, you end up being so frustrated because you feel like everything is on your shoulders, and now you're playing a superhero instead of being part of the supporting cast. What do I mean by that? Meaning that this is why you have a team. This is why I always push back and say, hey guys, we're in this together. This is not about me. It's not about you. It's about us. So passionate project managers help others grow by sharing responsibilities and granting autonomy. This is important because empowered teams are more motivated, they're definitely more innovative, and they're committed to the project goals. Here's some actionable tips I would love for you to experiment with. Delegate milestones, but verify. I want to be clear there. You want to make sure you're verifying. So when you assign ownership of many deliverables to team members, please verify. Provide resources, give guidance, training, and tools needed to see the success of the team. And the last and final one, recognize leadership efforts. Publicly acknowledge team members who step up effectively. I wish we did that more when you see people who don't fall into that category. You know the category. Oh, that's not my job. That's not what I do over here. But they can do it, but it's still not their job. Okay, cool. But publicly acknowledging team members who step into it, step up and are effective, you want to acknowledge those individuals because they didn't have to take the risk to actually do that. Point number four, lead by example in your accountability. If the leader demonstrates honesty, responsibility, and team members are more than likely to do the same. Now, with a culture of creating accountability, it increases trust. It reduces blame shifting. You know blame shifting. Oh, that wasn't me. That was this person. Instead of saying, oh, yep, that was us. We made that mistake. And this also encourages proactive issue resolution. This is key, family, because anytime we are able to proactively, and I use the word proactively loosely because sometimes you're not aware of a particular issue, or even if you have it on your risk register, maybe something just came out the blue externally. So we want to be able to have a proactive issue resolution. Here's my three items I would love for you to experiment from an actionable standpoint. Admit mistakes promptly. Just model humility and transparency. Number two, document actions items clearly. Again, document action items clearly. Assign owners and deadlines for each particular task. And then the last and final one, follow up on commitments. Show you mean what you're saying. Oh, I love this. By doing what you promise. And I'm just going to say it again. Show what you mean. Okay. Show what you mean, what you say by doing what you actually promise. Number five, nurture knowledge sharing environment. See, family, a knowledge sharing culture prevents siloed expertise. What are siloed expertise? Well, silos in general, we know how that can happen, that where people have trusted in project managers or trusted in teams and they felt let down because all of the responsibility, all the blame fell on them. And when the success came, the individual took took advantage of the success. So by knowledge sharing, this creates more of a collaborative experience, and it accelerates learning across the team. In the agile mindset, this is why I love when they talk about the T shape. Now, the T shape is more, again, just a broad overview of being able, meaning I can step in and do something else, but the specialized aspect things, meaning I know I can do this without a doubt. I may have some concerns, I can do it, but again, T-shaped individuals. And this is important because teams that openly exchange ideals, lessons learned, can adapt much faster than a team that is avoiding not sharing information. And this also allows you to avoid repeating the same mistakes. Experiment with some of these actionable tips. Centralize documentation. Use shared drives or even create a wiki page for easy access for project information. Host knowledge sharing sessions. Basically, this could be a short weekly, bi-weekly, or monthly meeting where you present anything that maybe you've learned in your journey that you didn't have time to share with the team on your weekly or bi-weekly calls. Pair up basically like a buddy system, match new members with experienced ones to transfer knowledge efficiently. Plus, what I also like is with that is that this person that is new or don't have the expertise that you may have as the professional, you can really see what that you may miss, meaning that they're coming in with a new set of glasses that allow you to see around the corner that maybe you were just so tunnel vision that you didn't get a chance to see around the corner. Point number six, develop emotional intelligence, or what we call EQ. Emotional intelligence is the ability to perceive, manage, and possibly positively influence emotion, both your own and those of others. It's an unappreciated skill for project success. See, people that have high EQ foster better teamwork, trust, conflict resolution. It really helps the PM handle pressures gracefully and maintain a motivating atmosphere, even under tight deadlines. Like I shared with you in that story at the beginning, that was something that I had to, if I allowed my emotions to get in the way, if I allowed my pride to get in the way, I wouldn't have been able to receive the information that was being communicated to me. And I would have thought, oh, this person don't know what they're talking about, but they've been with the organization for 10 plus years. So maybe they have a clue. Here's my three actionable tips that I would love for you to experiment. Practice active listening. Give full attention to team members and reflect back on what you hear so you can confirm an understanding. Maintain composure under stress. I know there's going to be moments you may not be able to do that, but the moments that you can do it, use techniques like deep breathing, short breaks, so you can stay calm during heated moments. And then ask for feedback. Encourage honest, constructive feedback about your interpersonal style and adapt accordingly. Point number seven, plan for adaptability, not just the doggone ideal path. Okay, let me explain what I mean by that. Projects like life rarely go perfect. Successful, or I should say exceptional project manager expect change and adjust quickly. Here's why this is important. Flexible planning helps you pivot without major disruption, and it preserves resources while at the same time you're sustaining team morale. Experiment with some of these actionable tips. Outline a what-if scenario. What does that look like? Identify key potential changes, whether that's resources, scope, budget, timeline, you name it. And this will give you an action to say, well, how would I respond to that? Here's my next one. Maintain a change log. Track each change request, rational, and impact on the actual project. I always recommend, outside of a change log, as a partner, I always say get a RAID Q log as well, because a RAID Q log also will allow you to do that as well. Encourage team input, brainstorm solutions with the team when changes arise, so you can leverage diverse type of perspective. Point number eight, master virtual and hybrid collaboration. Many teams know operating across different locations, whether that's time zone or work arrangements, meaning remote, in office, or hybrid, an effective project manager adapts techniques to keep everyone engaged. This is important because of the geographical diversity in both an opportunity and a challenge. What are you talking about there? Well, here, just stay with me. Effective virtual collaboration can increase productivity and access to global talent, but it requires deliberate effort to maintain that whole team cohesiveness. Here's about three actionable tips I'd love for you to experiment with. Use robust collaboration tools like your Teams, Slack, Zoom, just anything to streamline communication and file sharing. Rotate meeting time. So if the team spans multiple time zones, rotate schedules to be fair to everyone. Encourage informal interactions. What does that look like? Maybe virtual coffee chats or team building games. One of the things I love that I never got a chance to implement, but I'm going to share it here, is they have virtual, they're like rooms. So on when I've done it on site, never done it virtual. But it's more or less of, it's like, you know, you're trying to find certain objects and the team that wins to find the objects is, I forgot the name of it, but somebody helped me out there. And it's so much fun. And it does bring teams together, especially if you put people on teams that have had some conflict, they start kind of gelling together. Okay, I digress. Let me get back to today's episode. My final thoughts here, family, ignite your passion in project management. Remember, passion influences every decision, every interaction, and outcome in your professional journey. Here's my first out of 3 points. Embrace organizational culture. What does that mean? Don't overlook the small details. They reflect your professionalism. Commit today to understanding and aligning with the organizational culture. Number two, hone your negotiation skill. Negotiation isn't a battle. It's your pathway to mutual success. Start improving your negotiation strategies immediately for better project outcomes. One of the books that I always recommend, that's one of my favorite, Never Split the Difference. That book, in my opinion, is a game changer. Again, Never Split the Difference, if you're wondering. And the last and final one, lead by example and accountability. True accountability begins with you. So set the standard today and watch as your team follows. Here's some things I would love for you to reflect on as you go. I call it my RPM. Reflect, prepare, and model. So reflect, identify one cultural norm you can respect more actively in your next project. Prepare before you get ready to have that next critical conversation. List out your project must-haves and negotiate them confidently for your team. And the next one, which is model, start every day by committing to transparent communication and reliability through follow through. Family, if you focus on these steps, you'll transform your mindset, you'll galvanize your team, and you'll fuel genuine passion for every project that you lead. Now, you know, I don't like to just talk and you don't do anything with it. I appreciate you being here, but now it's time for you to move beyond just listening. Take the next step and put these insights into action. Well, family, I appreciate the opportunity today. I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, hey, listen, that just simply means Ed. Until next time.